Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he's doing wonderful things in the lives of those who trust him. Those that trust in the Lord, the Holy Spirit can work with them. He can cause them to understand greater concepts than those who don't train, those who don't listen, those who don't have ears to hear. And it's very important that we all have ears to hear, because God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Now, with God, there is an order to all that he does. And if you look at what the Lord does in the first place, he never deviates. He never deviates, period. He continues steady in the things of life. And that's what people miss out on. You know, when we first met the Lord, he spoke something. He had a plan in mind. Genesis 1 and 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep." And now watch this part. I love this part. "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." He's probing and planning, moving by his Spirit, finding what's alive, noting what's dead, bringing things to life with a plan, pure from the heart of God. And whatever the Lord speaks, Jesus does. See, Jesus was there too, except he was in word form. He's the Word of God. And God never deviated. The first thing we see the Lord saying when we first meet him, and God said, "Let there be light," and that was light. Whoa, here it is. Let there be light. Now, in the restoration week, now these are 24-hour periods. The evening and the morning were the first day. Some people say, "Well, what if that was 1,000 years? Every time it said, at the end of each day, let's look at this one. God said, "Let there be light." God saw the light that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. So God divides light from darkness. He still does that. He's still consistently doing that. In every situation, he divides light from darkness. He puts a separation of what's his and what's not. And he makes it plain that this is of me. He called me into the ministry. Every act of obedience, he follows every act of obedience with signs and wonders. Even if they're small in your eyes, he follows them with signs and wonders. For years at a church I was attending, and we would pray before praise and worship. And every time I'd pray, I would lead the prayer. I said, "Lord, heal people as we sing." Now, this went on for years, 4 years, almost 4.5 years. Right before the Lord separated me to go to another church, and the Lord did it. I didn't just up and leave. I did what God gave me to do. But before I did, a lady walked in while they were singing, and I was playing the drums, and she said she got healed. So God is moving by his Spirit, and he honors our faith. So what we need to do, you know, when God follows obedience with signs and wonders. If there's no obedience, there's nothing to follow with signs and wonders. But every time you do an act of obedience, even if you don't understand, signs and wonders follow. Even if you don't see it, signs and wonders follow. In the early 90s, like 90, 91, the Lord had started using me to speak words to pastors and people, and I never did that before, so this was new to me, and I had vowed that I would obey him according to, you know, just like I always teach. And because of that vow, I followed through. Sometimes God is prompting people and they're not following through. They quench the Spirit. And the word plain to tell us not to quench the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is still in motion, moving on the earth. There's no scripture nowhere to say that the Holy Spirit stopped moving on the earth. He's still moving by his Spirit. That's the first thing we notice from God. He's still probing, planning, finding what's his, operating according to the will of the Father, architecting the work of God. Now, when he was moving on me, prompting me what to say, giving me words for others, I started obeying him. I said, "Lord, what if I'm missing it? What if I'm wrong? What if I just think you're telling me these things?" I asked them those kind of questions because they were my concern. I said, you know, what if I get off track and I'm telling people what God said? It's really bothered me too. I said, Lord, I need a confirmation. See, as long as you're in faith, you can get a confirmation from the Lord. But this is what he said. He didn't say I couldn't have a confirmation. He said, your confirmation will come as a horizon. And I said, oh, okay. So, after a month or so of being obedient to God, speaking words to people, it's just blowing my little old mind, my little Pentecostal mind. I said, well, I just kept being obedient. That's all I could do. And then something happened. People started coming to me, telling me what happened in those days. Man, you know, that word you gave me, that came to pass. I had a dream, and they tell me all about what happened. Just like the dawning of a day, just like a horizon. You can see it from a distance, and then here it is as you follow up to it. You know, if you're driving down the road, the sun comes up. You next thing you know, you're in the day. You're not in the night anymore. So I got my confirmations. And then by the time he started sending me to pastors, he would give me what to write at home. First, he'd train me. He would tell me things about the ministry, things that he desired, things that people are doing. And he'd fill me in on his perfect will. And then I had an understanding of what God wanted, or a better understanding of what God, not a perfect understanding, but enough to go on with, enough to go forward with. Then, as time happened, he started giving me a word for specific pastors. Now, I took this very serious. Sometimes preachers say, well, I preach this, I think I preach that. I don't do that. If I'm God's spokesman, I don't supposed to preach out of my mind. You know, and that comes from training. Elder Lewis used to get a message before he preached. And one day the Lord told him, he said, Lord, it seems like people are not getting it. He said, I'm preaching your word, but they're not getting it. He said, show them in the word. Take them to the scriptures and point out my truth in the word. And he did this. He was very faithful doing that. Once the Lord alerted him what to do, he did it. And then he gave him a message. Now, I'm on the receiving end at this point. This was in the early 80s when I got saved in 83. So the years between 83 and 88, those were the years that I was listening to him. In 88, the church split because, one thing that Bishop Bonner didn't believe in women preachers. And I ran into a few women. They said they used to go to Refuge Temple, but they had to leave. I said, well, why did you leave? That's a good church. Well, the Lord called me to the ministry, and they don't believe in women preachers. And all the pastors before, you know, when Bishop Bonner started, that was the doctrine. So some of them came before Elder Lewis and some after. I think most of them were before. But the Lord dealt with Elder Lewis and showed him that women could preach. And the very scriptures we used to say women couldn't preach, because I got caught up in that too. And you know, when you think you're right, you're right. You think you're right. But then the pastor knows we're wrong. And I felt bad because I thought I was right for years. And I had to call people back and apologize for my little old zealous ways. One lady, I said, no, God did not call you to preach. I called that lady back. I said, listen, I'm sorry. My pastor said, showed us that women could preach, and I made a mess of things. I said, I just apologize. And she said, that means a lot to me. And she forgave me. Now, but I met women that were called to the ministry, and when the Lord dealt with Elder Lewis, he released the women to preach. He pastored the church. But even though the organization didn't approve it, he did it anyway. Well, five women came up that God had been dealing with, and they preached, and they were wonderful women of God. Now, see, if you follow God, you might get ousted. And the devil don't like when people stand up for what's right. If I preach something wrong, and I know it, I'm going to apologize. I'm going to ask God to help me make it right. You know, Zacchaeus said, if I stole from somebody, I'll pay him sevenfold. Well, I don't have sevenfold to give him, but I sure will apologize. Nevertheless, it's important to stay on track and to be accurate. It was a strong concern to me, and the Lord knew that was important to me, to be accurate. I see, because there's enough garbage being taught as truth. And once you do it, you set a motion. There's a future tied to every choice we make. So we need to make Holy Ghost choices. And every choice, at least it need to be sanctioned by the Holy Spirit. If it can't be sanctioned by the Holy Spirit, we need to not teach it or not do it. And not teach it and not do it. So it doesn't bother me if somebody get ousted for doing what's right. And, you know, I took a position a long time ago. I said, if I got to preach, I'm going to preach what God give me. I'm not going to add to it. I'm not going to take away. I'm not going to try to please people. And I'm going to land where I land. And I mean that then. I mean that now. So, and with the vow that God gave me, see, you can't take a vow back. You got to perform it. So every time he led me to people, then I went and I did what he said. Well, the day came, he would give me a message for a pastor. I get to the church. He's preaching a lot of it. I mean, almost word for word. So I had something to go on. I had a reason to trust that this is God. So I stayed in faith. But the training is what I wanted to point out. God trained me to do that. He didn't just give me a word to give people. He trained me first. See, every season, I would get a season of training. And that'll last a few weeks, 4 to 6, sometimes 8 weeks. And then he would give me assignments. And then I'd do those. That would last about a month, maybe it's 2, 6 weeks, you know. And then he'd give me a season of rest. And during those seasons of rest, I kept studying 15 chapters a day like he told me. And those were the times that I would ask him my personal questions. Now, when he was training me, the word would come to me, and I didn't too much ask for my personal questions, things that I wanted to know. I focused on what he was saying. And it all worked out. See, if you're called to be an apostle, you're called to do a function. And too many apostles really do have the anointing for it, and they don't know what to do with it. Earlier this year, God gave me this broadcast called Fig Leaves and Running Shoes. See, that's the anointing people run from. And then that's the anointing that the proud people want to be. Until some people call themselves a bishop. A bishop is an apostle. But that's just a modern way of saying the same thing. Or I need to look up bishop, but I was always taught that that's what an apostle is. You know, Timothy was an apostle, and Paul called him a bishop. He was an apostle. Titus was too, and others were. See, God's still calling people to fill that office. And the requirement of a prophet, you have to have a prophetic gift and 2 revelation gifts. I wouldn't have never known that of myself, but Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and taught him these things. I studied, and then I said, well, hey, let me see if I qualify here, because God called me to be an apostle. See, Barnabas and Saul, they were prophets, and then in prayer, the Lord set them apart. He gave them a sanction, Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas was first, and they were called apostles from that point on. So if a prophet has to have a prophetic utterance, a prophetic gift, and 2 revelation gifts, then so does the apostle. And then I thought about what God gave me. He gave me discerning of spirits, and the first time I did that was in 1989. First time I saw a spirit on somebody, and the Lord taught, and I knew what it was, I've seen spirits on people before, but I didn't know what they were until then, tonight. And then he would give me words of wisdom. He would explain to me what was going on. See, he didn't give me words of knowledge for people. He gave me words of wisdom. And sometimes he would tell me what would happen if they did this or that. That's in the future, so that's a word of wisdom. I told a man that he was going to be reunited with his wife. I didn't even know he had a wife in the first place, and separated. And he was in this group, DOC. I was working on that van, and I prophesied to him. I didn't, prophetic utterance. The Lord saying, you're going to get back together with your wife. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. Then time went by, a year or so. Then they came back, and I looked at their van again for something else. And they telling me, well, he got back together with his wife. The Holy Spirit is accurate in all that he does. So he's still moving, looking for people, scouting, fishing for people who will do right by God and love God. People he can pour his anointing on, people he can train. Now, the Lord put something on my heart that Jesus did. You have to watch what God does with Jesus. Here he is. He is the second Adam. He's also known as the second Adam. He's also known as Emmanuel, the root of David. He's the firstborn among many brethren. He's our Savior. He's Jesus. He's the King of Kings. And I love him. And God gave us his best. And sorry about that. But the Lord is moving on Jesus. By the Holy Spirit, he did everything that the Holy Spirit gave him to do. He perfectly followed his Father. He honored the Lord in all that he did. In what he did, in what he chose to do, he made things right. He did good. He went about doing good. And he still does good. And he's going to do great things through us. So as we go forward doing all that's in his heart, speaking his word, and getting to know him and training, then we'll be covenant appropriate. That's the goal of this broadcast, to become covenant appropriate. Now, let's look at some of the first things that Jesus did as a man. Now, I love 1 John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing, was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So he's our example. He's the one to look to. He gives us his light. He gives us the ways of God. He makes things plain through example. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was a man sent from God whose name was John. Same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and by the world was, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And that's a terrible, that's the power of evil religion. See, religious pride is an evil thing. It's an evil disease. It's an evil spiritual disease to come to the religious crowd and they, your own people, and they don't receive you. And he's the word of God that they said they love so much. And see, when you see things like this happening, you have to take note. I got to watch Jesus too. The enemy is slick, folks. But the focus is not on the enemy. It's on, if you stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do anything. You can do all good things. Verse 12 says, but as many as receive him, to them, watch this, he gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. And which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now this is what the greatest prophet that ever was said. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I got to highlight that. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? Now listen, now I just saw something. I have taught in other broadcasts that Jesus was stripped of the knowledge that he had before he became a man. And this proves it to me. He said, the law was given by Moses, verse 17, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now watch verse 18. This is curious. He said, no man has seen God at any time. No man. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, he declared him, but Jesus in the flesh did not see the Father, even though he was the Word. Because that knowledge before, he came to us, the Word of God became flesh, but he had to grow and learn just like we do. He had to believe the scriptures just like we do. He told Thomas, you're blessed because you've seen, but blessed are those who believe and have not seen. So Jesus is among those that have not seen. And I got another one. When they asked Jesus about when he would set up his kingdom, he said, it's not for you to know the times and seasons. But he said that the Father put that in his own power. And even he didn't know. The Son of Man didn't know when he would return. The Father put that in his own power. So even though he's the Word of God, he don't know everything God knows. Why? Because he became a man, and no man seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, I don't feel like I'm going out on a limb saying those things, because these scriptures back me up. All right, verse 19, let's continue. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And he as said the prophet Isaiah. And that's Isaiah, New Testament, spelled it with an E. But the same thing as Isaiah. Verse 24. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, who really didn't like God in the first place. I added that. Verse 25 said, And they asked him and said unto them, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ or Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done by Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming. This was my all-time favorite scripture years ago. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. So, as we continue down, John by record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. One scripture said it remained on him. Holy Spirit never left Jesus. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize was water, the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, John baptized him with the Holy Spirit. John felt like he wasn't worthy to do it, but Jesus had him do it anyway. All right, so some of the disciples followed him, but before Jesus really started cranking things up, something else happened. Before he went out and started ministering, the Holy Spirit had him. Let's go back to Mark chapter 4. See, I don't know all the chronological order of things, but one of the first things that the Lord did, well, I said Mark 4, it's Matthew 4. Matthew 4. All right. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Before he started his ministry, he was led up to be tempted of the devil. And this happened after John baptized him. And he was led up to be tempted of the devil. Because Adam gave Satan his authority. Now Jesus is going to take it back. And he had to overcome Satan first. Now, if Jesus had to do this, we have to do it too. We have to be able to say no to the things of Satan. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward very hungry and hungry. I added the word very hungry. He was afterward in hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He quoted a scripture here. Then the devil didn't give up. The devil took them into a holy city, set them on a pinnacle of a temple, saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He's quoting Psalm 91, a part of it. Jesus said to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Satan fell down flat. He has not, his words were no good. He was ready to do business here. He didn't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, like Adam did. He's standing strong in the power of God. Verse 8, again, the devil taking them up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil got out of there. then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Now, I want to say something. Jesus did this by himself. The angels came after Satan left, after he ran Satan off. And the angels came and ministered to him. And they're ready to take orders now. He stood against the tempter. And these are valid temptations. And now Satan, according to, 1 Corinthians 10, the enemy has to fight us on our level. But I'm sure he gave it all he had against Jesus. Now, the Lord subdued everything. But with Jesus was fully capable. He didn't bow down to Baal. He didn't allow the things of darkness in his heart. Now, how much more? Before he went about doing miracles, he stayed in the order of God. He was yielded, fully yielded to God the whole duration of his ministry. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was his hardest challenge. Not my will, thy will be done. He stayed subject to the Father. Now, how many preachers can say that, honestly? This is why people deviate. The devil is slick. The first temptation is satisfy your flesh. Your flesh won't get it. Sometimes you got to say, no, I'm doing this God's way. Then the enemy tried to get him another way. It is written, man shall not live by, he said, he took him to the up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of a temple, said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Prove your righteousness to me. Sometimes people feel like they have to prove their quality. See, you can't follow God and look at man. You have to follow God. Man is going to do what man, you don't need man to promote you. David said that in the Psalms, that promotion comes from the north, from God. See, people that have these conflicts, they get leavened. That's why we're reading this. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt God. Then greed. Now, greed is a problem, too. He said to them, all the, again, the devil take him to an exceeding high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.